Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Mobert. Today on Route 51, we look at a unique, ongoing project in north-central Wisconsin called Empowered Dream Hunts Incorporated. The program is designed to help disabled people overcome adversity by giving them the opportunity to realize a dream that for many seems impossibly out of reach, going on a deer hunting trip in the great outdoors. We've got two guests today, Empowered Dream Hunts Director Joe Ramsey, the leader of this nonprofit organization, which he describes as an effort to help the specially abled outdoor enthusiast to overcome nature's challenges, break barriers, and develop friendships to fill a dream. Also with us today, a participant in one of the dream hunts, Mitch Hoyt, a City of Marathon man who suffered a serious accident while deer hunting 5 years ago, an accident that broke his neck and left him paralyzed. As always, we want to hear from you. What do you think of the program? What is it about nature and the great outdoors that renews our spirit and can even help renew us physically? Do you know someone who has had to overcome adversity or deal with a physical disability? Has contact with the natural world or hunting or fishing helped them? Or have they found some other way to rise above what life has handed them? As always, this is your show. It works best when you call in, so please give us a call. Our lines are wide open right now at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Joe, Mitch, nice to have you with us today.
It's nice to be here.
Thank you very much.
Joe, tell us, here's a logical first question, right? Tell us about Empowered Dream Hunts.
Empowered Dream Hunts is an organization that helps other individuals. Even though in 2007 when we started this opportunity with a young man by the name of Kyle, we didn't even think we'd be here right now, but Kyle's basically steered Empowered Dream Hunts and wants to pay it forward through memory of a friend that helped him. And this friend was killed in a car train wreck and helped Kyle because he was at the UW Oshkosh campus, and he worked with Adaptive PE. And we took Kyle on the hunt, and we thought we were going to be done. And like I said, Kyle said, "Why don't we help somebody else out?" And I said, "Kyle, why don't you help me to help somebody else out?" And that's why we're here today, and we'll have helped after this year almost over 19 families.
Now, Kyle is a young man with cerebral palsy, correct?
Kyle, cerebral palsy, but when you talk to him, he doesn't let anything get in his way, and that's what I've learned through this whole program.
And where did you run into him?
Kyle's from Winneconne, Wisconsin. And I met Kyle on the wrestling mat, and now Kyle, if you call him, he'll scrap out any steel for you, but just don't get in his way.
And you're the former wrestling coach at Winneconne High School. Is that something you're still doing? Or
no, I coached there back in 2005, 2006, and I met Mike Farcioni, and then
that's the gentleman that was killed in the
yes.
in the terrible accident.
Mike was taken from us, but. Now, right now, we preserve. Mike was from actually Kewaskum High School, and now we give back, and we tell his parents every day this is what Mike's done to continue to inspire other individuals.
Well, tell me a little bit about Kyle and why he wanted to go hunting and how Mike facilitated all of that, since this all seems to be the genesis of this organization.
Kyle wanted to go hunting, and his mom said, "Joe, why don't you spend some time with him?" And so what I did is I took Kyle turkey hunting. We've seen everything but turkeys. Then I learned about the nine-day hunt in October, which is going to be coming up here next month, the first
right.
weekend. And took Kyle on a hunt, and we were up in Wittenberg, Wisconsin. Didn't see any deer. So I got heckled by other individuals, and they said, "Well, Ramsey, you don't know how to hunt." So they took him. They heard a deer. From that, it inspired Kyle. Says, "Joe, I want to get a deer." So I called numerous places, and we found out and learned about when you hunt on a hunting ranch, they've got to be 80 acres, they have to be licensed. And what we've done is we've encompassed, through this whole program, hunter safety, people being cognitive, and Kyle say, "I want to get a deer." And I says, "Well, Mr. Busha, that owns the ranch, what can we do?" And he said,
mm-hmm.
he explained to us what you do, is you do what you normally do.
Now, this is the Little Lakes Ranch and Lodge up in Irma, where it's Dick Busha is one of the owners there?
Yeah, Dick Busha, he's the owner. He's got family members involved, and that's what steered us. It's about family. We asked Kyle to go on his hunt, but unless his mother said she would go with, we would have declined because we wanted Mom to be there.
Uh-huh.
And Mom wanted me to be there. And Mr. Busha, almost 30 years ago, was a counselor of mine up at Lincoln Hills. And it's just ironic that it's not ironic. The Lord brings us back to where we need to be. And he said, if you pray and ask for things, I'm gonna put you to work. And that's what we've been doing.
Well, tell me how this hunt affected Kyle. What was it like when he was on the hunt and when it was all over? Did it give him a different point of view?
He said he didn't get excited, but I've got a video that kind of changes that perspective. But he did. He was greatly appreciated, and then we steered him to the nine-day hunt.
Uh-huh.
It's the Badger Mining place up in Berlin.
Okay.
And he did go back, and he enjoyed it, and he shares it with other individuals. And I think that's what he's gotten out of it. He works at a sports shop in Winneconne called Wolf River Sports. And he tells people, and he'll call me, he says, Joe, I got a guy to go on a hunt. What do we need to do? And we still have that great relationship that we had way back.
So that started Empowered Dream Hunts. How long ago was that?
2007 was the first hunt, and that was, like I said, it wasn't even really Empowered Dream Hunts. It was just to go out and take a young man hunting.
But then you later formed this nonprofit organization so you could keep it going.
Yeah, and what we learned is some individuals came with counsel, and they said, let's start an LLC. We want to worry, you know, focus and protect you guys. And then from that point, we had some other players come involved and turn it into what it is right now.
Well, how many of these hunts do you do a year?
We only do, we'll do three because Mr. Busha only takes eight hunts a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's really taken a liking to the fact that we put a lot of time and effort and research with the family to make sure they're proficient.
So you're able to select three people with handicaps or disabilities to go on these hunts every year. How do they, I'm sure there's a demand to be part of this. How do you select the people who end up going?
Generally, we come across somebody refers somebody to us. Like Mitch Hoyt, I met Mitch. We were going out for dinner. My mother-in-law was feeling good. She's battling cancer, and we went to the bowling alley in Marathon. I was having a fish fry, and my daughter looked up and said, Dad, there's a man over there. Maybe we can help him. And through some conversations, we went and talked, and I found out, I looked at one of his hat. He had a military hat on, and prayed about it. And actually, over a year later, I contacted him again and said, this is what we do. Would you enjoy doing this? Now, the unique part about how we do it is I think a lot of people would enjoy doing this, but I think pride. We've had individuals that this person wouldn't like it, that person wouldn't like it, and later on, they said, "I wish I would have done this for my loved one."
How much do these hunts cost, Joe, and who pays for them?
The whole event, which we call people, it's $2,500, but that encompasses your meals, lodging, family goes. You get to harvest a large buck.
Is this like an extended weekend?
It depends. It could be.
I would. Oh, sorry. This is strange hearing my own voice. It was the meals that are provided. It's just a good opportunity for the loved ones that, let's say, my wife is a caregiver for me.
Yeah.
And it gave her an opportunity to relax for a change. To have somebody from this bed and breakfast that is handicap accessible. Eric and Missy Wagner, the people that run the lodge, really are stand-up people. They provide the food. They make sure you've got what you need to drink and, take care of any of the other needs that you might have,
And Mitch, this again is the Little Lakes Ranch and Lodge in Irma.
Yes.
And obviously they do more business than just this, so it's a place that anybody can check out if they want
yes,
to have the experience of the outdoors and a bed and breakfast out in the woods.
Yeah, they rent the lodge out to different groups of people, and we've actually gone up there. We've looked at renting it out for a ladies' retreat for our church. It's just a nice, it's a nice view. You got the wildlife there, and it's very open and accessible.
Yeah, and then, you know, with that, they get the head mount, the taxidermist comes, but everything's proactive.
And are you telling me you can guarantee them a deer?
Well, we can guarantee them an experience. I'm learning this hunt that we have coming up with Matt Dyker, the EMT,
right.
With his accident. It's probably going to be one of the most challenging things. And as a wrestler, I like a challenge. So we've got probably 20, 30 people that have come together and helping Matt and doing some things, getting them up there and shooting. But to make this happen, we go out and fundraise. From Kyle, the first individual, all the other families, former recipients, friends, families that I have.
Right. How do you do this fundraising?
We'll do raffles. We'll do brat fries. We take anybody's idea that, you know, always a good idea is streamlined, and that's coming from somebody else. And then families are proactive.
Right.
They get involved. So they are able to basically say, if I was going on a hunt with Glenn and Joe are going on a hunt with Mitch out west, we have to plan it. We got to plan what we're going to eat. So meals and lodging. Somebody said, I want to pay for the meals and lodging. So they do a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that doesn't really like the hunting aspect, but likes, they get involved in another area. Somebody likes the deer.
How many people work with you on this, Joe?
Too many that I can remember. There's a lot of organizations. I know we've had Ganner Mountain giving us some ideas. We've had Charlie's Hardware from Mosinee, from down south. A gentleman by the name of George Curtis. It's called It's Your Environment, and it's pretty profound, the fact that he says, we don't own this. We don't own any of this land, but we need to go out and help people enjoy what we take for granted. And you had asked me before about how I got started. Well, my dad took me deer hunting once. Deer got spooked and took off. Foster dad took me, shot and missed, and I laughed. And he said, well, we're done.
Be done after laughing.
Yeah. But what people don't understand is when nobody's really said during the rut, when the prime hunt, and you guys out there that enjoy hunting like I do, right now my wife says my neck's swollen because the bow hunting's starting, is that most people, we respect the fact that they enjoy their property. But when I go out and try to harvest a mature buck,
right,
it is very rare. And to shoot a three-year-old animal, it's even more rare.
But it sounds like your success, you've got a pretty high success ratio in terms of these hunters actually coming back with deer from this lodge in Irma.
They will come back with a deer, but like Mitch will tell you, when you can take your family out there and enjoy something that it's their property. We give them that 100 acres, the lodge, and say, how would you wanna, you know, this is your dream hunt. And we back out of the picture, besides Mr. Bush is saying that there's certain bucks we know they can't shoot, but there's bucks that I've never shot. And every one of our recipients have shot a bigger buck, and I've been hunting since I've been 12. And to me, that's gratifying and humbling.
Mitch, talk about that aspect of it. You did go out there with your family, and you had this terrible accident not too long ago, and you're mm-hmm. confined to a wheelchair. It's got to be awfully, awfully hard on you and your wife and your four daughters. What did this weekend mean to them?
It was just a chance for them to relax, and it was a chance for me to relax. My wife is one of these ladies that needs to be doing stuff all the time, and I've always been more laid back, and I'm willing to take some time and just to enjoy life a little bit, whether it was my fishing or my hunting. And I took it to an extreme. Before my accident, I was constantly doing fishing or hunting and leaving my wife and kids at home. But after my accident, it gave me a chance to observe all the work that my wife does. It gave me an opportunity to be a better husband and a better father and spend more time at home with them, one. But this hunt up there...
You know, Mitch, if I could just make an observation here, there aren't a lot of people that I know who would have gone through what you did and have a terrible hunting accident, be paralyzed from the neck down, and confined to a wheelchair, and yet you're finding a silver lining in this experience. You're saying that it helped you become a better husband and father.
Oh, by far. If I could I share the story of what happened on my
yes, I
my
wish
hunt
you
that
would.
Fall? I had gotten a call on a Friday. My friend Mark Nelson had asked me to come over and go do some hunting. And so in my typical selfish way, I came home and I started packing up my gear. Now, I grew up on the western part of Wisconsin over by Pepin, Ellsworth area. And I came home and I started packing up my gear. And Chris says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going hunting this weekend. And she says, Mitch, and my wife never nags or complains on me about stuff and hadn't to that point. And she says, Mitch, why don't you just stay home and spend some time with me? And I said, well, like, you know.
Almost like she had a premonition.
Excuse me, yeah. Well, being selfish as I was, I came up with a honorable way out, and I said, well, I already gave Mark my word, you know? So I said, I'm going. And on the way over, I stopped at Walmart in Eau Claire, and I picked up an extra stand. Main reason was is because there was a ridge on some private land that I was hunting over by Nugget Lake that I wanted to set a stand up on. And so I got over to Mark's around 4:30 in the morning, and I waited in the driveway. I didn't want to wake his wife or kids up. And about 5:30, he's out knocking on my truck window, asked if I'm ready to go, and I said, yeah. And he asked me, well, where do you want to go, Mitch? I said, well, I just bought this new stand. Let's run down over by Franson's land over by Nugget Lake and set this up. He says, how about this? He says, I just put a new stand up about, you know, 3.5 miles away from Esterby's. He says, you know where my old stand is? Behind Esterby's? I said, yeah. He says, you go hunt out of that one. He said, I'll hunt out of my new stand this morning. He said, we'll meet at the road out by 11 o'clock, and then we'll go get something to eat, do a little scouting in the afternoon, and do an evening hunt over on Franson's. And I thought that sounded like a pretty good idea. And so I go over to behind Esterby's there and park my truck, get my gear on, and I walk back about a 3/4 mile back to the stand and get up, and I hang my bow up on the little wire hook. I'd helped Mark place the stand, three and a half years earlier. Didn't know he left it out all year long every year during this whole thing, but so anyhow, when I hung that bow up on the wire hook where I knew where it was, I put one foot on the stand and I heard a crack, sounded like a twig breaking behind the stand. And I stopped, thought maybe I'd spooked a deer. And when I stayed still for a little bit, there was nothing else. I stood on the stand and I turned and I was looking towards the east, and it was the sunrise was just starting to look beautiful, you know, starting to color the sky. And I started stretching and I took in a deep breath of that cool morning air, and the straps that held the tree stand to the tree, the top one broke initially, threw me forward, and I hooked my bow with my right arm. My leg swung out, and the little wire hook let go, and I fell face first. I caught
God.
I put my hands out in front of me. I mean, I was going straight down, put my arms out in front of me like this cushion the fall, and when I hit, my face got pile-drived into that forest floor. My mouth was full of leaves and dirt from the soft forest floor. And I knew I had broken my neck or back. I couldn't move my legs, but when I had hit, there was this vibration that it was like, this vibration went through my body. And, excuse me. So I knew I needed to be able to breathe, and I didn't want to turn my neck or my, you know, move much because I knew I damaged something. I didn't want to do more. And so I tried to use my right arm to come over, and I couldn't get it all the way down to where my mouth was. So I used my left hand and I reached down in and grabbed a handful of dirt and leaves, and it hurt so bad I turned my head to look, and my bones had coming out on my wrist there.
Oh, man.
I had broke both arms, but this one was the worst.
Mitch, hang on just a second. I really don't want to interrupt you right now, but we have to because we have to take a break for an underwriter announcement. But
sure.
We'll be back in just 60 seconds.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking to Joe Ramsey and Mitch Hoyt about empowered dream hunts. And when we stopped for the break, Mitch was telling us about the accident, the hunting accident that changed his life. Mitch, how did you come to grips with the fact that your life was going to be changed forever after that? And start your response, and we're going to have to break for news shortly thereafter, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the news break.
Sure. As I was finished my story there, I used my right hand, but I turned my head to look, and my right elbow was caught in the crotch of a sapling. But I could use my fingers and tongue to get the debris out of my mouth, and then I just scraped a spot on the forest floor, and I was waiting to die. I had written in dirt with my finger. I wrote a message to my wife and kids, and I said, "Chris, I always loved you. Girls, I love you too." And then I waited there to die. And as I was waiting there, I was in a lot of pain, and I actually wanted to die after an hour of this. I don't know how to explain it any better than as if you sit on your leg wrong and your leg or foot falls asleep. That's the type of pain that I experienced and still do from basically the chest down. But as I was laying there, that pain was there. My arms were both broken. I had 5 broken ribs, and my right shoulder blade was broken as well, and the bones in my left ear. And I was hurting pretty good. And after that first hour, you know, when you think you're going to die, your whole life comes into perspective. You know, that old proverbial thing, your life flashes before your eyes. I got to look back and do you need to?
You got 30 seconds to wrap up this thought, and we will pick up on it on the after the news break.
Well, basically, I had an opportunity to give up a lot of grudges that I held against my mom and my dad for the divorce they went through, and different people who had hurt me throughout my life. And I got to the point where I'd asked God, "Please just take me home. I'm suffering. I'm hurting bad enough. Take me home." And I closed my eyes, and opened them. I thought, I let my breath out. I thought, I'll open my eyes and I'd be in heaven, but I wasn't there. I'll finish the story when you're done.
All right. We're talking to Mitch Hoyt, who was paralyzed in a hunting accident, helped by Empowered Dream Hunts, a nonprofit organization run by our other guest, Joe Ramsey. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51. We'll have more and your phone calls after this news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Mobrig, and the subject today, Empowered Dream Hunts. We're talking about how people can overcome adversity. And in this particular case, we've got a guest, Mitch Hoyt, who was disabled in a hunting accident a couple of years ago, and he's been helped by Joe Ramsey, who is the head of Empowered Dream Hunts. And that's a nonprofit organization that helps people in need by taking them out into the great outdoors to realize a dream that many of them thought was beyond their grasp forever. If you want to find out more about the organization, it's empoweddreamhuntsinc.org. And right now we're going to find out more about Mitch Hoyt's story. Before the news break, he was telling us about that terrible day in the woods when he fell 20 feet off of the hunting stand, broke his neck. He's lying on the floor of the forest after his wife asked him not to go on the hunting trip.
That ran through my mind quite a bit, remembering her say that. Why don't you just stay home and spend some time with me? There were a lot of things that were going through my head. But as I was saying, at that point, after the hour of looking at my wrist and my watch and seeing the time go by, I said, "God, I'm ready to come home." I figured my kids would want to have a father they could look up to. And in my mind, I thought, there's no way they could look up to me as a cripple. I know how miserably I had failed as a father when I could walk, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, they're not gonna want me around, one. And then two is my wife. I thought, she's not gonna want to be married to a cripple. She's gonna want some man she can respect. And I got to the point where I was ready to die, and I let my breath out, and I was hoping to open my eyes and be in heaven. And I opened my eyes, and there's my arm dangling from the crotch of that tree, and I got mad. I was going to take my own life, twist my head or hold my breath, but the first way I was going to do it, I'm going to just hold my breath till I die. And I went to take that deep breath, and I heard the Spirit of God speak to me, and he said, "Who do you think you are, trying to tell me when to call you home? I'm not done with you yet. I've got more work for you to do." And then I started crying, and I asked him to forgive me for wanting to take my own life. It was a selfish thing. And he spent the next 4 hours sharing with me how he was going to give me an opportunity to be a better husband and a better father.
You heard all of that while you were lying in the woods?
Yeah, I never blacked out. I was conscious through the whole fall and laying there, you know, for the first 5 minutes of screaming for help. You know, I heard dogs barking down the hill. I thought maybe there was a squirrel hunter or somebody in the woods who would hear me. And after 5 minutes, I thought I didn't have much strength in my stomach. You know, my stomach muscles weren't working. So I was just using my diaphragm to yell. And I was pretty much just yelling into a pile of leaves, you know.
Did your buddy finally come back and find you? Is that what happened?
Well, after I laid there for around four more hours or so, I heard some footsteps. And I mustered up as much as I could. My spinal cord was swelling up by this point. I was kind of losing my diaphragm even, and my breaths were really short and shallow. And I heard the footsteps, and I thought, oh, I hope this isn't a bear or a wolf, and it smells of blood on my wrist. You know, it's going to come and eat me. And so I took a deep breath, and I said, it was kind of like this raspy, you know, "Mark, is that you?" And he heard me. He says, "Yeah, where are you?" And I said, "The stand broke when I stood on it this morning." And he said, "BS, you know." I said, "Look at the stand." And I could tell he was about 50 yards out, and he took a few more steps towards the stand and stopped. And then I heard him running, and he got up to me, and I told him, I said, "Mark," I said, I want you to know this isn't your fault. God had a plan and a purpose. Not that God caused it. I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm saying. Is that there's a purpose for this, and for me, it was to allow me to be it was a wake-up call for me to realize what's important in life.
And do you think this accident made you a better husband, a better father, and a better human being?
Yes, and 6 months, there's a confirmation to this, is 6 months after we got back from Craig Hospital and rehab and all that, my wife comes up to me one day, and she gives me a hug and a kiss, and she says, "Mitch, I want you to know." And this isn't prompted. I didn't ask her anything. She says, "Mitch, I want you to know," she said, "I wouldn't give you your legs back if things would go back to the way they were." And I just thought, you know, thank you, Lord, for helping me become a better person and fulfilling your word and what you said you'd do in my life.
Mitch, you probably thought you'd never go hunting again. Did Empowered Dream Hunts make that possible?
Well, I had hunted prior to Joe Ramsey's getting a hold of me.
You were doing roadside hunting,
roadside,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And
tell people what that's all about.
Well,
if
you're actually, you get a Class A or maybe even a B disabled permit where you're permanently disabled, you can get permission to shoot from your vehicle. And I have a section of road over by Ellsworth that our family lives by, and the farmers all around know us. And I got about 9 miles of road that I got permission to road hunt on, and that's what I was doing. And after my accident, that's what I started doing, is road hunting.
But that's not the same as
being out
in the woods.
I felt like a shooter, and that's basically what I was. And I'm a good shot. You know, people will roll their eyes. My family, we will eat 6 deer a year, always have since I've been hunting. I get the T-zone permits. I shoot the does. I get a buck and a during the gun, a buck during the bow, and so we'd shoot 6 deer a year, but it wasn't the same. I wasn't out in the woods experiencing the squirrels jumping and seeing a fox run by, whatever it was. This up there, I was surprised.
Joe Ramsey is the director of this organization. What do you think of Mitch's story?
Mitch is like a majority of the families we work with. It gives me a new perspective. It helps, you know, as a dad and as a husband, you want to be an example. And my kids are able to see this, how fortunate we are. You know, I told Mitch, I get in a car accident. I had knee surgery, and I try to keep things in perspective. But no matter what we're going through, we deal with trials. But knowing Mitch and seeing him and taking him out and knowing that, I mean, his hunt, he didn't get out of the blind. He sat in there from 8 o'clock in the morning until 4:45.
I loved it out there, and being in the woods again.
And your wife got to sit there, your daughter got to sit there, and everybody else got cold, and he went back. To me, that is the perspective that is wonderful.
Well, Joe, you've overcome some adversity yourself in your life. When I look at your biography, you were in foster care in Milwaukee since you were 16 months old. Is that accurate?
Correct.
And you ended up being a resident of 6 different foster homes, and then you ended up at Lincoln Hill School in Irma, and you ended up becoming Merrill's first 2-time WIAA state wrestling champ, then graduating from UW-Stevens Point. How important was the experience of being outdoors to all of the changes that happened in your life and the experiences you had as a kid growing up in Milwaukee and how it ended up turning you around?
I would say from learning from Milwaukee to today, speaking on the radio, is that we're going to go through trials. You're going to go through trials no matter what you are. Sometimes you think they're fair, sometimes you don't think they're fair. If you want to interpret that, there'll be a day when you can talk to the big judge. But it gives me a perspective to just be very humbled and know that there's always somebody that we can help around the corner. And a gentleman had shared with me, it's the starfish story.
Yeah.
You're out on the beach and the guy's babbling why the guys keep picking up starfish, and well, it's going to make a difference to this one. And to me, I don't think we can do enough. Focus on your family. If you do have an opportunity, go and help others. And it's that pay it forward philosophy. And that's, I'm a long ways from there. You know, I look back and just don't worry about, like Mitch said, don't worry about yesterday. Focus on today, and we've got a young man on Oshkosh we're going to be doing an event for, Mosini, Tomahawk, and we're going to be helping a family in Merrill. And not just the hunts. We've actually given 2 respite opportunities where they don't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a chance just to go up there and just relax. And to me, that's and if you want to get involved, I've learned a lot through this whole, interpretation of when I said, Lord, give me a project, well, I've got a project, is like with the Lions camps. And if people are looking at in the Merrill or Tomahawk area that would want to help, I know next year we're going to look for a cook. I know we're going to do everything we can to provide what we do on our normal weekends of hunts. And in Wisconsin, it's tradition. You go up and play cards. Some people go and shoot pool. People get out in that morning, you know, and that's what we're trying to give these families.
Joe, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they best do it?
You can go on the webpage, empowerdreamhuntsinc.org. You know, you can get a hold of, any of the local papers. You can get a hold of the radio station here and try to, you know, get a hold of me. I know we can't help everybody, but we're going to help as many people as we can.
Just like that starfish. We're talking to Joe Ramsey, the director of Empowered Dream Hunts, and Mitch Hoyt, disabled in a hunting accident, who went on a dream hunt with Joe a few years back, and they have both been sharing their stories with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. It's been a pretty emotional hour so far. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51, Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
Wherever you're listening this afternoon, we invite you to join the conversation. Here's some more numbers at 1-800-780-9742. Mitch, what's it like working with Joe?
Be honest, it's kind of hectic sometimes working with him personality-wise. But when you get to know him, you know his heart's all good, you know, and he's trying to help people.
And Joe, you had the desire to start Empowered Dream Hunts, but you had to put it all together. How difficult was it to find a lodge that fit the program and then to put all those other pieces together to make it work?
Initially, I talked to several people to go out and basically give me an idea of where I could do this. And initially, Mr. Bush said, "Why don't you look at other places?" And I'm thinking, I'm not thinking very kindly of him, but you have to.
That's Dick Bush again at Little Lakes Ranch and Lodge in Irma, which is where these hunts take place.
Correct. So I thought, well, you just go into a place and just shoot a deer. And that's not the case. They've got to be 80 acres. They have to be licensed. One of the things is we've brought in the perspective of hunter safety. People being cognitive of what's going on, not taking advantage. And you can't, like I said, you can't drive the deer. You can't stalk the deer. Just because you see a deer in a location, it's like setting this program up. You need help. And I haven't done a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
These families have come together. Our board is predominantly recipients. And they are driving this, and they feel a part of a family now. Most of these individuals say, well, my mom's supposed to do this, but when you come over and talk with me and hang out with me and play cards, this is cool.
And you were telling us, we were talking about your experience growing up in foster homes in Milwaukee. You ended up at Lincoln Hill School, and one of the owners at this ranch was an employee of Lincoln Hill School when you were a resident there.
He was, and I guess when you look back, it comes down to the perspective of respect. And I can say the individuals that I've found in my life, you can always put yourself around good people, and you're going to become a good person. You can, like Mitch said, you can have all these excuses or go out and start doing something, and that's what they taught me. There was Grandpa Joe. There was several other individuals up there, and now I volunteer working at Rawhide almost 10 years, meeting people like Bart Starr, meeting people, like yourself. There's a lot of givers out there and takers, and I was taught you should be a giver.
Mitch, what's the facility like in Irma?
It's wonderful. The lodge is great, and the hunting area, before this, I've hunted since I was 12 years old, bow hunting and gun hunting, and I've shot some nice bucks. I got 167 incher on the wall, a 12 pointer, some 10 pointers. I've shot some big bucks. So when Joel asked me about this, I was kind of like, it's going to ruin my reputation as a big buck hunter in the wild. People are going to think this is it's easy, but it wasn't that easy. When I went up there that first night, we talked about what the next day would entail, and Eric said he'd be over early in the morning, and he was, and I was up and ready. My wife was ready. She sat out with me for a while in the stand that morning, and then her and Eric, they got cold and hungry, and they wanted to go back. I said, "Would you mind if I just sit out here?" I was really enjoying watching the squirrels play. And there was no shortage of deer coming by throughout the day, does or bucks. And it was just like sitting in the wild. They weren't coming up to eat out of your hand or anything.
There's something about being in the outdoors, isn't there?
Yeah.
And Aldo Leopold once said, there are some people who don't appreciate wilderness at all, and there are others who can't live without it.
Yeah, I think I'm one of the latter there. I can't live without it.
And who gave you an appreciation for the outdoors and hunting?
I believe it was my father. Growing up in Hicks Valley, which is the name of the valley, over by Pepin along the Mississippi River, I spent my summer with my older brother. I had a little brother and our neighbor boys, the Commissars. We'd pretending to be Indians, and I mean, we'd dress up in loincloths. This might sound funny to kids nowadays, but we used our imagination. We went out in the woods. We made bows with sticks and bale twine, and we shot weeds at one another. I forget what the kind they are. They're like not cocklebur, but you pull them out, and they got a sharp point, and they shoot really well.
Uh-huh.
Out of a bale twine bow, and we'd shoot each other once in a while too. But we would go out, and we would sneak around the woods, and we could sneak up on deer. We would be quiet, and we could watch a rabbit come out of its den. You know, it just stuff like that really moved me.
It makes you feel sorry for kids who spend all of their lives
on
playing
video games,
doesn't it?
It does a little bit.
And Joe, the same question to you. Who gave you your appreciation for hunting after growing up in Milwaukee and having this troubled childhood of yours? And you did end up in the Merrill area.
Well, you know, and like I told you, I remember back, and I still have I continue a relationship with my biological father. And he had taken us out, took me out hunting, bow hunting, and we got out far enough, but we could see the vehicle. Like I told you, a guy started siphoning our gas. So, but I learned being there with Dad, seeing a deer, it wasn't about getting the deer, but people do enjoy harvesting an animal, I just challenge people out there, if you do, there's food pantries to give animals to, I mean, in a sense, but...
Well, it's like being a fisherman, you know. You're not a real fisherman if you can't go out and enjoy a day in the boat, whether you catch much or not.
And I, you know, knowing Matt, Matt Diker that we're doing out of Mosinee, Matt's got a device, even though he's a quadriplegic, he's actually got a device with a screen and everything. He is planning this whole event, and... He shared with me that it's his dad, it's his brother. You know, I'm hearing this common theme. Andy mm-hmm. out of Tomahawk. The families are grateful that they get to do it as a family. So I would say family, you're learning out. It's not always your biological family. It's just getting out there. And don't just go out and do something by yourself. Go out and enjoy it with somebody
else. Have women participated in these hunts?
Oh, yes. There's a young lady named Taylor, and on our webpage you can watch her video. And she outdoes the boys. She does shoot a nice animal. But it's an enjoyment. Her dad takes her out.
And one of your recipients, a young man with Asperger's syndrome, I don't want to use his name, but he apparently had difficulty relating to people at school, family gatherings, social situations. He was introverted and often angry. And the hunt provided emotional rehabilitation for him.
And his mother mentioned that once she got there, he opened up. I didn't really understand what it was about until I saw his shoes, and I saw these fluorescent shoelaces, and they went through the whole process, and I was watching him on a hunt, and then all of a sudden I heard click, and a dad looks at me, weren't you going to tell me about putting a shell in? I said, that's your son. That's your experience. And he said, I appreciate it. And to me, that's the perspective, is it's their relationship. And that's what I'm learning. I'm learning that I need to learn some more.
In 2009, you got a father and son together, Irv and Chad Reinfleisch. Am I pronouncing the name right?
Correct.
And you gave them the first opportunity to hunt together in 14 years after the father had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
And actually, Irv was the first one. We built a wheelchair ramp at the facility. It's handicap accessible. But I said, Mr. Busha at Little Lakes Ranch, we need a wheelchair ramp so these people can enjoy what everybody else is enjoying. And I think the son and Mr. Busha's son-in-law, they Eric. Were more excited, Eric, because they actually, things didn't work out the way they planned it. So mm-hmm. it took them 3 days to harvest an animal there.
Just kind of a general question for both of you, and because we're running out of time, this is the last one. Do you think the world would be a better place and people would be better citizens if everyone developed an appreciation for nature, for the woods, and our relationship to it? Joe, what do you think?
It is something we need to do instead of just throwing debris into the waters and stuff. Like I said, it is not ours. We need to take care of it.
And Mitch?
Short answer, yes.
Anything you'd like to add?
No, I think that's just it. I think people need to to get involved in the outdoors. There's so much out there besides just hunting. And if you know somebody who has difficulty getting out, boy, it sure be nice in that if you could, if people listening could reach out to that person. I mean, just this afternoon, my daughters and I went for a walk. I rolled, obviously, but went for a walk down the road, and I got to point out where the plum tree was, you know, and just tell them, point out different trees and plants as we went down the old gravel road by our house, and we had a good time, and I treasure those moments I have with my children outdoors now.
Mitch Hoyt, your story has been inspirational, and Joe Ramsey, best of luck to you. And again, that website is empoweddreamhuntsinc.org. We'd like to thank our guests, Joe Ramsey, the director of Empowered Dream Hunts, and Mitch Hoyt, an avid deer hunter before his accident and an avid deer hunter still. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week, it's another one of our musical shows. We feature the Egyptian folk rock group Woust El Balad, which weaves contemporary sounds with ancient Egyptian chants and melodies, some going back to the days of the pharaohs. We'll be talking about the sources of their inspiration, their success in their homeland, and the challenges posed by a musical ensemble that includes both Christian and Muslim members in a volatile part of the world. Woust El Balad will be performing at the Grand Theater in Wausau on Thursday evening, a week from today. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. And until next week, we're heading out of town.